broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I would love to have another dog in the future. You know, I think it would be a big step for me.
I have just two words for you, my colleague.
It hurts. Like I said, they don't know me.
And if they do get presents, usually it's pretty practical. So
we must be ready all the time for the atomic bomb.
That is a threat.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where through the looking glass we go to places other talk shows wish they could but can't. Time Magazine names their Person of the Year. We'll talk about it tonight with Mr. Steve Bozell of Corona, California. The Person of the Year is Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg, who I do not believe has hit his 30th birthday, a multi-billionaire, and Mr. Bozell, pushing 40, has an issue with that. We'll talk with him tonight about that. McDonald's gets hit with a lawsuit for marketing the Happy Meal to kids. Why, they should be marketing it to who? Hobos? I don't know, but they're being they're being sued for that. Plus, the top 10 Twitter trends in 2010. Top 10 Twitter trend. Check it out. Top 10 Twitter trends in 2010, baby, tonight. On a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Steve Bozell will be with us, as I mentioned, next hour. We also have Robert Greene joining us, and Bob is going to be talking to us about this very difficult holiday season. He's an employer. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods. He's got a lot of people in his employ, and a lot of employees, fortunately working people, are still going to be hurting. We're going to talk a little bit about that with him. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight on WCFO 1160 AM in Atlanta and WNTZ 1330 AM in Rockford, Illinois. And PhilHendryShow.com right now, our store is wide open, so you can pick up the series of our classic best of CDs. They're all on sale in time for Christmas. We've got double CD sets. We have single CD sets. And this is all archival, legacy Phil Hendry Show material containing some of your favorites and mine. So check it out over there at PhilHendryShow.com. Get a backstage pass while you're at it because you can take part as radio history continues to be made here on our show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, and Robert Greene joining us tonight from home. Bob, I understand you're not feeling very well. I hope you're okay.
You know, Phil, it's a little bit of a flu bug, and I think it was a stomach flu, and I hope it wasn't anything that I ate from my store. I don't think it was. We had a pretty hectic weekend, and my daughter is here, and her husband, and I've got a brand new grandbaby, so, and they're going to be here for the duration of the holiday month. So we're really happy to have them. And
did you get some Christmas shopping done?
Oh, we did. We went out earlier this week, and we got a lot of it done. We're going to go out and get a little bit more done. We've got the tree up, and we are very fortunate. We've got a lot of room here where you know, my daughter and her husband and the kids can all stretch out. We've got a lot of space, and so we're going to look forward to it. And, of course, we've got some friends visiting from back east as well on the weekend. So it's going to be a pretty busy house. And in the middle of that, of course, we've got a business to run.
And to that end is why we're talking with you tonight, because there's so many people are not going to be having a traditional Christmas because of the economy. It sounds to me, first of all, that like you're going to have one, which is wonderful.
We are, Phil, and we're very blessed. We're going to have a traditional Christmas this year, as we have had for quite a few years. But that was the result of, you know, a lot of hard work and building up a business and being able to have this for myself and for my family. It feels good, and we're very grateful that we have it. I know there's a lot of people that are hurting, and they won't have a traditional Christmas, but I like to think that because we are going to have a traditional Christmas, and we're going to have a tree and have all the trimmings, and I'm fortunate that I've got enough money for, you know, Christmas presents for my kids and for my grandchild. I'm fortunate enough that we live in a very big house, and we live near the beach.
Do you live on the ocean?
We do. We have a home that is actually in Laguna Beach, so we're right above the beach here. And
so you that's lovely there, isn't it?
And it is. It's very lovely. And unfortunately, I'm able to afford domestic help. We have a young Latin Hispanic woman that comes in, and she's going to be with us throughout the Christmas season, so she'll be on call 24 hours in case we need her for whatever.
Does she live at the house?
We do have a quarters for her, and we're hopeful that she can be in her home, and then we could call her and have her get over. Having her staying here with us, my daughter and her husband are not familiar with that sort of an arrangement. So,
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be so nosy.
No, no, it's okay.
I wonder what it's like to have a live-in domestic. I've seen people who do that, you know, a couple times a week. And so, you know, isn't it funny that we're talking about this because of the economy that we're having?
Well, it's a down economy.
What do you do with all of your employees and with the people who are working for you? You have checkers, you have stalkers, you have so many people working in the back, butchers and people who handle the seafood and, you know.
We've got a lot of people in a lot of different departments, Phil. That's absolutely right.
What do you say to them? Have you had to lay a lot of people off?
Well, we had to lay off a couple of people only because we did not anticipate the drop-off that happened here at the holiday season. So we did have to lay off one young lady. Actually, we laid off two checkers, and we're probably going to have to lay off two girls in the bakery. Because it hasn't been quite as busy as it was leading up to the holiday season. But I have asked these young people when I lay them off, I asked this one girl, Carolyn, if when I told her I was going to lay her off, but I wanted to lay her off in front of the other employees. And the reason why I wanted to do that is to show them that you can go through these tough things with a little bit of dignity and class. And so I asked her, when I lay you off, I would appreciate it if you would thank me for the opportunity to work here, and would ask me for if I will actually, you know, hire you back, and show a level of graciousness to the other employees.
Now, she knows she's going to be laid off.
That's correct.
And so when you laid her off, she asked you to please hire her back when you can.
That is correct, yes. And I also asked her to thank me for the opportunity. Why? Because that is an example to the other employees on how to have dignity and class, even when you're losing your job. The other thing that I do, Phil, is I'm very, very lucky. I just bought a Mercedes 600. And I have taken to parking it closer to the store so that when the young people come in the morning, my employees come in the morning, and people are leaving at night, they see, well, that's what Mr. Green drives. And that's what I want to drive someday. And so I want them to see what I drive.
So that they're inspired by it.
So they're inspired by it. And when I do lay people off, they have dignity. And when I do give them a paycheck that perhaps is a few dollars less than it was 6 months ago, well, we had to cut back here. We had to cut back. When I give them a paycheck,
can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Well, and our number is 877-876 Phil. We're talking to Robert Green about these tough times as an employer. How do you deal with employees? And Bob is talking with us about how to, you know, take laying off being with dignity. Putting his Mercedes out front. You put your Mercedes out front so they can see.
Well, so they can, you know, fantasize about, you know, maybe owning one day if they get enough money. The odds are long. It's probably not going to happen with, you know, bagging groceries. It does happen. It does.
Well, they're the rare people.
Yeah, you're right. But it's not anything that is going to, I don't think anything that you can, I'm going to say, okay, well, I'll park my Mercedes out here. But at least they can see it, and they can imagine, you know, maybe someday I'll park. ballet or...
I wanted to ask you a question. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Robert Green. When you have an employee who is when you have the money that you have, and you're giving in some instances you're having to give people pay cuts. And I know that I don't know a lot about business. And do you yourself take a pay cut?
Well, I tell you what, I have a corporation, obviously, Phil. We are a company, and then we pay ourselves salaries. So I take a salary like everybody else. The corporation has the money in it, but the money in the corporation is used either for my retirement or it's used for capital investment. It's used for, if we were publicly held, which we're not, dividends or however much money. I'm not really sure how it works, but... you asking me if I've taken a pay cut, I haven't taken a pay cut because it wouldn't make much difference if I took a pay cut.
What about the idea of you taking a pay cut maybe to keep some people employed?
I've heard that kind of argument where they say, well, if the rich guys took a pay cut, then we could keep a few more people online. It's not that simple.
I don't know the numbers.
No, I'd be happy to tell you how much money I make. I'd be happy.
How much in salary?
In salary, I earn $500,000 a year.
And what about bonuses?
Well, the bonuses are. See, that's a different. You asked me the salary.
Well, with bonuses, how much money do you make?
I'm not really prepared to talk about that. I thought you asked me about salary.
All right, salary, $500,000 a year. So let's say you took a pay cut of $50,000 a year. That's all. Isn't that a whole? Wouldn't that be a whole year's salary for some people?
It would be a whole year's salary for possibly one or two of our people, maybe a checker, but it would be an insult to me and to them. I think I'll take a pay cut just so I can keep one person on, and they're going to say, well, so I'm taking charity, you know. And
well, no, if you're taking a pay cut and you're keeping someone on, why do you call that charity?
Because that's exactly what it is. That person would rather have that job as a result of real profit-making as opposed to a charity case. If you knew, Phil, a little bit about our business, corporations, and the complexities of owning and running a business, I think you'd probably understand, and I think your listeners would. I can't really run a business school right now, you know.
All right, hold the line. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Robert Green joining us here on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm just curious, if he's a CEO of a company, and he is, and I know that the times are tough, and he's had to cut salaries, and he's had to lay people off. He himself has a good life, and he parks his Mercedes in an area where people can see that this is the life you can have if you work hard. But practically speaking, if he took a $50,000 a year pay cut, he could keep someone employed. Mr. Green says, however, that would be an insult to that person because it's like charity. This is really this whole discussion of the big guys taking a pay cut to keep the little guys working. What do you think? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And the idea of parking a Mercedes out front, this is what the boss drives. Would that inspire you? Would you say, wow, if I work hard enough, someday I'll get to maybe park one of those? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, that's not what I said. You completely destroyed it.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back. Robert Green, often on our program to talk about the economy and jobs. Mr. Green runs Fraser Foods, a large grocery chain in the U.S. Southwest and Southeast. And we'll take your phone calls for Bob Green as well. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bob, and if my math is bad, and I understand what you're saying, you know.
Well, it's just that I don't run, and I'm not trying to be a smart mouth, Phil, but I don't run a business school here. You got to understand. For me to explain the intricacies of making the salary that I make, $500,000 a year, and not being able to afford a woman who's $10 an hour, you would call that, probably you would call me callous, but Do you understand something?
That you're paying them $10 an hour. I thought a checker would make more than that.
Well, I think that's a very good salary.
You think $10 an hour is 21 grand a year? That's, you know, that doesn't, you can't live on that, can you?
Can you? People do, and that's what the salary is. I need to explain something to you, Phil. You know, we have this thing now called self-checkout, and I'm sure you've seen it. Do you use it?
Yes, I do.
There you go. So you use self-checkout, so you are in a way responsible for the people that I've got to put on the street. And
no, wait. You know.
No. Wait. That's what you did.
No, I didn't do anything, but what I'm asking is, why can't you take a $50,000 a year pay cut and, I guess, split it between two checkers?
Because it doesn't make any sense when I've got self-checkout. The other thing is that I can take one person and work them on two registers, and that is a way of saving a salary. It doesn't make any sense for me to give out charity, and that's what you want me to do. And, Phil, I love my employees. I love them very dearly. I love them enough to tell them, you see that self-checkout machine? And I did that with my checkers earlier this year. I said, look at this self-checkout. See this? I said, this is what people can choose to do. And if they're going over here and they're not going to you, I said, we're going to have some problems. And
well, that must have made them feel terrible.
No, it toughens people up and lets them know what the challenge is.
And meanwhile, you laid off a couple of people. I don't know.
But that is the reality. And you yourself said you use it.
I use self-checkout only because I don't want to stand in line.
Well, I don't want to put it that way, but I have to. You just put two people on the street. Not you specifically, but people like you.
So self-checkout is not good for checkers?
Well, I guess not. You know, look, no, how could you say it is good?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me take a phone call here. We have Trina. Hi, Trina. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I just wanted to say, first of all, what a pompous jerk that you're speaking with this evening. I am surprised this gentleman, by the way he's talking on air right now, if he talks even half as bad like that to his employees, I'm surprised anybody would want to work for him. I'm glad
I
don't live in that area because I wouldn't be
shopping
for him.
I wouldn't give you my money.
I wouldn't take my hard-earned money and go in and spend it in a store to where they treat their people the way you're talking about that you treat your people. You know, you can keep those people.
I love my employees, and I said to them, look at my Mercedes. A CL600. It's a $130,000 car. I said, you see that? This car is worth more than the homes you live in.
And what's that supposed to do?
What is that thing?
Yeah.
What do you think that makes you look like?
It tells people, look at what I'll tell you what it makes me look like. They want to be me someday. They want to go up the ladder of success and be me.
But you know what, sir? You're not even offering them the opportunity to even have a job with your company. I mean, you're laying them off. You're buying your expensive car. When you could go out, you could buy a $50,000 car that would be just as good a car, if not better made, as the $130,000 car that you bought, and you're paying your people $21,000 a year. You could pay 300 people the difference.
I can assure you that there's nothing better made than the Mercedes-Benz. Nothing in the automotive world. That's
I beg to differ.
Well, you could, but you'd be wrong. Now, the second thing is that what sense does it make for me to make a lot of money and live like I'm living in a blockhouse with a chain-link fence? You see what I'm saying?
Well,
why would you?
Nobody's asked you to live like that, but there is a point to where you got to realize that excuse me, I listen to you, and what I'm saying is, with the way you're living right now, you know, that doesn't make you look any better. I mean, you're really living above what you really should be living, and you're making those poor people that work for you,
What do you mean I'm living above?
Them people that's working for you probably can't even go out and buy groceries.
Do you propose communism? That's what you're proposing, communism. You're proposing communism.
But you're very rude.
All right. I think what you got to listen to the callers, Robert.
No, but what the lady is proposing is a socialist state. To the worker goes the means. You know what Karl Marx wrote. And I think the lady knows that. She may not be a communist, but she doesn't know what she's saying, because what she's proposing is a class war against me and what I got. Ain't that right?
But, sir, did you have to have $130,000 Mercedes? Do now they not make lesser models than that? Did you have to have the biggest car that they make?
So this is the Barack Obama socialism, Phil. You don't need that car. Get a cheaper car so that we have enough money left over for Trina so she could have Mercedes. No, I don't think so.
No, that's not what she's saying. When we're talking about people losing their jobs, though, I wonder if there's something we could do, not compelled by the government, but compelled by our own good sense as business people. Is there something we could do to help keep our people on board?
If the economic model isn't making sense, there's nothing I could do. I could go ahead and cut $50,000 out of my salary, but then I would be angry at myself. And in a lot of ways, Stuart, you have to think of that as a labor problem. To have that kind of self-hatred going into work is in and of itself a labor problem.
Phil Hendry Show, 877-876. Phil, we'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Self-hatred.
It's a labor problem.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
With Robert Green from Fraser Foods, the economy, if you have a job, it's good. But being laid off from a job is not good. Not making enough money is also not good. And, Bob, we're talking, you know, and I appreciate you being very candid, because I think it's good. I think it's good to hear the people who are the owners of the companies.
Well, I do too, Phil, and I appreciate you having me on the program.
All right, but these are tough questions. You make a lot of money. You've had to lay off people, even though your own lifestyle hasn't been affected. I understand that you don't want to talk about that. Can you at least address what that last lady said, and we'll get to another phone call about you driving a less expensive car?
Well, Phil, that is a very typical question from people who are unhappy with their current status in life. But this is Barack Obama's America. This is what Mr. Obama has bought for us. People resentful of people being successful.
And you really think this is Obama's fault?
I really do. I really do. I don't think we've ever lived through a presidency of an American president who people now resent other people for being successful. I always thought that was America. I drive a $137,000 car. I'm not going to drive anything that's worth less. Why? Because I earned it. I drive it to work. I park it near the entrance to the building so that my employees can see it, so they know I'm not afraid to show them how much money I have. And on days that I have to lay people off, I will actually point to my car as I'm laying them off. And why do I do that?
That sounds cruel.
No, it's not cruel.
That sounds cruel that you would point to the car.
Yeah, no, it's not. I say, someday you're going to survive this. You see that car out there? I say, right now that car is worth more than probably what you live in, what you call a house. Someday you're going to, you might have that. So I use that as incentive. Now, number two, 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend Cindy, and she's not a young lady, she's in her 40s, but she's a beautiful woman, and I love her. I just wanted people to know that I don't have some trophy wife. She's a nice girl. She's put on weight, and they all do, and I'm going to have to deal with that. But I bought her a Dolce & Gabbana bag in Las Vegas the way we used to go when we were together, like a few years ago. We'd go to Vegas when she was a little bit, you know, slimmer, and it's a $2,000 bag.
I know.
What do you mean you know?
Dolce & Gabbana bag? It's a $2,000 bag? Yeah, that's a very expensive bag.
Well, she walked into the market with it Monday, and one of the checkers was resentful of the bag. She said, "What is she? Look at that bag. That's Bob's girlfriend." And I heard about this. Do you know that Cindy saved that girl's job? Because I was going to fire her.
And why were you going to fire her?
Because she made a big deal about my girlfriend's $2,000 handbag. But Cindy said, don't do it, because then it's going... She was afraid that she'd be blamed.
I don't know that that story makes either one of you sound good.
No, well, you've got to understand business, Phil.
Well, I mean, a $2,000 bag and someone... I don't know what the lady was commenting on. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to a phone call here tonight. We have Mike in Houston listening on KPRC. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
It's going good. Thank you.
I have to say, I don't agree with this guy one bit whatsoever. As a small business owner myself, employees are the most important assets you could possibly have.
Well, I'm not a small business owner. I'm a large business owner.
No, I would consider you still a small business owner. If your salary is down to $500,000.
Oh, I see. Oh, here's a guy that thinks I should be taking more out of the company. He thinks I should be taking more out of the company. I own the company. That's the salary I take.
All right. No, let's not quibble about that. So
well, anyway, Mike, you know, through one side and down the other, it really doesn't matter.
The fact is, we've got 25 stores in the Southwest. We've got 23 stores in the Southeast. That's not a small business any way you cut it.
Well, I'm very proud of you on that. Business owner to right. business owner, regardless of whether you're small business or big business.
Well, you just need to know what a big business is.
Oh, no,
okay,
I,
we can move
oh, no,
move
I,
past
I've
that, all right?
I've been with big businesses throughout the years. And people like you are actually the reason I started my own business.
I own one. I'm not just with one. I own it.
Right, you own it, okay.
And people like you are the reason that I left big business like that. To go start my own.
All right. I mean, how do you know you weren't doing them a favor?
Yeah. You know,
I'm just responding, sir.
Really,
I mean, you want me?
If you're not going to let me
you
talk,
know you,
what's the point of me being
I'm
on the phone?
I'm letting you talk. I made a comment. That's all. I just said, how do you know you weren't doing them a favor?
Yeah, that's an insult, Bob. That's an insult to this man.
I'm talking business, one businessman to another businessman.
All right, fine.
How do I know,
go ahead, Mike.
How do I know? That's not the reason I'm calling. This is a whole other discussion we could be having right here. My point in calling is that your employees make or break your business. Do they not?
Woo! Yes.
Your product is a very small
percentage. We do have the self-check, the self-checkout thing.
And
so,
you know what? I personally will stand in line for an hour before I go stand in a self-checkout line.
That's
I will not.
But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, sir. There's people that are using it, is what I'm saying. There are people using it.
You're right, but when you go to a Kroger...
Does that make them wrong? Does that make them wrong? Does that make you better than them, sir? Are you being elitist? Are you being elitist now? Does it make you better than them? That they use...
All right, God. Look at... What exactly... I've lost the point of this conversation, Bob.
This guy's coming on and telling me that my self-checkout is somehow commie.
Commie?
No. That's not the point of calling at all.
All right, well, let's wrap it up. Not to be rude, Mike, but I just...
Here's the point of what I... Here's the reason
move this guy along, will you, Phil?
September of 09 is when I started feeling the crunch in my business. So the first thing I did... First thing I did in September of 09 was start pulling my own salary back to keep my employees on.
Yeah.
And
that's
I kept my employees on. And through the struggle of all of OCAN, I have kept my employees on. And now that we're starting to pick back up, I still have my employees. I'm getting my business back. Everything's coming back right out.
Right. Well, congratulations.
I'm the one who sacrificed because it's my business. It's not my employees' business. It's my business.
I thought you said your employees were the... You don't have a business without them.
You're absolutely right, and that's why I kept
them. Well, then it is kind of their business then.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, no, I'm just saying what he said. It's their business. But he took credit for it, and I think that that's... Not don't like that. You know, he's sitting there going, look at me. I took a pay cut. I saved all of your lives, and I want you to. Because I think someday he's going to go to them, and he's going to expect something in return. That's what I just think. I don't know.
You know, you just took what that man said there. It sounded like a very good thing to do in the middle of a very difficult economic time, and you turned it into some sort of blackmail.
I don't know what this guy's going to do in another year to his employees and say, you remember when I took that pay cut? Well, guess what? Time to start giving it up a little around here.
Wow.
Do you know what I do to my employees?
I don't want to know.
Let me tell you what I do to my employees.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know, because if it's illegal...
You know, why would it be illegal?
I don't know if it has something to do with the female... You know, the female employees. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
Okay.
What do you do to your female employees?
He didn't say, all right, look at Mike, thanks very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Why would you provoke him?
I'll tell you why I provoked him, because I heard that guy say that the company belongs to his employees, but he took a pay cut, so he's the hero, so they have to thank him. He was dancing back and forth, and I'm worried about that guy. There's something going on where he works, where he's trying to take the credit. I think he's going to line his female employees up one night, tell them all to put on lipstick, and go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Isn't that nice, huh?
You think I'm kidding?
Yeah, you know what? Whether you're kidding or not, I think that's a hell of an insult from one businessman to another. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Dylan in Queens, New York, listening on WWRL. Dylan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for letting me on. All right, listen. Let's go right to the point. First of all, you say you're going to have a nice expensive car in front of your driveway when you get into work, and you think that's a compliment to your employees, and they're gonna be happy.
Yes, sir.
You just bought that car. That's a $100,000 car. You're insulting your people. You're laying off.
Try 137. Try 137,000.
Okay, great. 137,000. You know that's great for you.
Right.
But you're telling people, you know what? I can buy a car. I'm making money, but yet I'm saying that things are bad. I mean, you're insulting your employees. That's not the approach. And then you turn around and you insult this guy who's a business owner. And
right.
Tell him that it's something to do with females? I mean, I'm not sure.
You heard the guy. He was talking about he's going to line him up and put lipstick on him.
He never said anything of the sort. The question this man's asking, excuse me for interrupting, Dylan, but a $137,000 car parked in the parking lot does what?
When I park that car in the parking lot, and what I want to tell this gentleman, I tell my employees, you see that? I know that today the house you live in is worth less than that. But someday.
Well, you have a funny way of showing positive reinforcement or motivating people, because I've had many bosses with hundreds of thousands of cars. I even owned one at one time when I used to make money. But watching your boss buy an expensive car in these conditions and then turn around and lay off people, it's like a spit in the face. It's not, you have your psychology of motivation and influence is just totally off key. That's not the way. You should take a pay cut.
I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky. I admit I'm very fortunate that I'm good enough with a business that I made a lot of money.
And I mean, only
you hear the man say?
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky that I bought a $137,000 C600 series Mercedes Benz, and I had to lay off two checkers. You're right. Is it my fault that people are using the self check? No. Is it my fault that they're not buying? Well, I don't know what's so funny.
Because I understand your mentality. I think your approach to everything is totally upside down. I mean, why wouldn't you take a pay cut? Why could you be a bigger man, less, just like the gentleman previously who spoke to you, and try it and see how much good you can really do? I mean, are you in the business of doing good, or are you in the business of walking around with a big ego because you wanted to fire an employee because they made a comment about your girlfriend's bag? I mean, you're actually putting
no
it
kidding.
In their face.
Mr. Henry,
I agree with you, Dylan.
Well, I'm sure you do, Mr. Henry, because it makes you feel like a big shot sticking up with your listeners. You don't.
No, it doesn't make me feel like a big shot. I agree with what this man is saying. I mean, all of my life, when I was a little kid all the way on up today, I always used to wonder, how come these guys that make all these big salaries, they got to fire people? I never could figure that one out, you know?
Because I'm the guy that took the risk. I built the company. Now, when Cindy came in with that Dolce Gabba bag, or that Gabbana, I don't know how you pronounce it, she knows. I bought her a $2,000 bag. You know why? Because I could afford to. Did I want her to walk into the store with it? I told her later. And I want you to know this, Dylan. I told her later. I said, and I used some choice words, and I shouldn't have, but I said, you acted like a whore bringing that bag into my store. And
oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
That's ridiculous. You know, I don't know how many wealthy people you actually know and actually believe what you're saying, but, I mean, something is really wrong with this picture right here. I work with a lot of wealthy people on Wall Street, and it's funny that not all of them see things the way you do it. And I know a lot of business owners.
Jay Leno was in our store. Jay Leno was in our store two Tuesdays ago, and he's a funny guy, and, of course, I didn't know this. He leaves, and I get a call from Rudy, who's working on the floor. He said, Jay Leno was just here. I said, why didn't you call me? This is a high-profile customer. I want to go down there, and I want to talk to the guy. And guess what? Nobody told me. So I had to fire this guy.
You fired who?
I had to fire Rudy.
Why did you fire him?
Are you guys not listening to me? I got Jay Leno in my store. And
because he didn't come and get you. He got canned.
Yeah.
People. Oh, why does that make you look in front of Jay Leno?
Well, Jay Leno doesn't know that I fired the guy. Jay Leno is off thinking about something else. 5 seconds after he got out of my store, he doesn't know whether I'm going to live or die.
Saying that on radio, public radio, really shows you. Well, I really don't.
Yeah, exactly, man. You know that Leno may be listening to the show.
Well, I doubt that because guess what? Doesn't he do the Tonight Show right now?
They tape it at around 5:30.
I don't know. All I'm telling you is 5 seconds after he left my store, Jay Leno doesn't know whether I live or die. He doesn't even know he was in a store. He's thinking about something else. But I'm telling both of you guys, I can't afford that. If I don't fire that kid, then people are going to start walking all over me like I'm somebody's, like I'm your grocery bitch.
Let me ask you a question. Did you go to business school?
All right.
What? From your own experience.
What's that?
Did you go to business school? Did you go to a master's degree?
No, not at all.
None of the above?
No, sir.
So you're self-made man.
Self-made man. That's me.
Exactly. I got to take a break, Dylan. I appreciate your call. I think you made some great comments. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
I've been on your program for 50 minutes, and I have been turned into an animal that people can just throw their feces at. And if you've known monkeys, Phil...
I know about that.
All right. Then... Why have I been criticized? We haven't even brought up the communism angle.
All right, hold the line. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Bob Green in just a moment.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
You don't even want to talk about that.
Well, I do want to talk about that.
Because that's what I think is at the bottom line here.
All right. Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. With me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. As we talked about difficult times during this Christmas season for employees, hard enough for people without jobs, but even if you have a job, your pay is cut back. You don't know how long you'll have that job. And, Bob, you've talked about some incentives that you have built into the work environment at Fraser Foods, but some of them are you parking your Mercedes near the front door, your girlfriend with a $2,000 handbag that she walks to the market with.
Let me ask you, because you have not addressed this, and I feel as if you should. I have been listening to your callers here this last hour, and they have been talking to me about socialism. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about a man not being able to earn a living, and he has to give it back because Obama wants everything all safe and neat. And you know what I mean?
And I haven't heard President Obama's name mentioned once, except for you.
Well, I don't believe that. I've been listening to people. What are you talking about? You've had people.
The only person to mention Obama's name in the last hour is you.
Well, if that's the case, Mr. Henry, your listeners have been on this show talking about communism and socialism, and the fact that if I make this much money, I'm going to give back and so on and so forth.
Nobody is talking to you, by the way, about there being any legislation or any legal, legal arm that sort of forces you to give your money back. They're talking about you as a responsible employer.
No, they're not talking about that at all, Phil. And again, I almost feel a little bit sorry for you because you don't know anything about business. You're talking a lot of, as the kids used to say, you're talking a lot of smack. I know business, and the best way to motivate an employee is to take them outside and say, you see that Mercedes-Benz? Now, do you want that Mercedes-Benz? And the kid generally will go, you know, however they say that. And
boy, you got a lot of respect for your employees.
Mr. Henry, I have nothing but respect for my employees.
Well,
because that's how a lot of them talk. If you haven't been to... If you haven't had a proper education and you come out of where these neighborhoods are, you're going to go, I say, do you want that? Yeah. Then you have to work for it. And then I'll say, now get in there and get back to work.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We get a chance for one more phone call here. Talking to Robert Greene, we have Stephen Bozell standing by next hour. Dominic in Portland, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
I just want to say that I'm really shocked altogether that, on one hand, this guy can say that he cares about his employees, and the other hand, it's like, I'm going to park my car up here, I'm going to make a boatload of money, and you're not really showing anybody anything except really what's wrong with America, and that is that you as the employer can just do whatever you want, and you know, you can fire a guy for not telling you that Jay Leno's there. And if you really cared about your employees,
why am I laughing
then it
at
would
that?
Be more or less, it would be, hey, look, let's try to work together as opposed to I'm going to show you my big car, and you know, you can earn this someday. And if you were a good employer, you would maybe try to take a pay cut, and you would try to keep some of your employees on.
That's socialism. And that's socialism. Yeah, that's socialism.
No, it's not socialism. What it is giving a damn about your employees and making sure that they have a living wage and that you make plenty. You said it yourself that your girlfriend has a bag, and you're even willing to call her a name on the radio because, well, she came in the store and get an interaction with somebody.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Dominic. Good points. The Phil Henry Show. Steve Bozell next. Wow.
Phil Henry.
Boy, that guy just ripped me a new one.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I have just two words for you, my colleague.
I wasn't aware of this going on, this taking place.
Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 2010
is... I would love to have another dog in the future. I think it would be...
Take your stinking paws off me.
Ass covering.
World-famous... World-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we take you through the looking glass and beyond. We take you places where other talk shows can't take you. You know, whatever the real thing is, whatever what people are really thinking and really feeling, that's where we go. Coming up next hour, we have our news hour with Robert Leonard and with Bud Dickman. Our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And you head on over there and check out all of the live streaming video that we have. We have a live streaming audio along with the video, of course, and a 5-day archive of our video cast. We have an archive of all of the shows that we've done. We have an iTunes podcast. We have a mini podcast. We have our classic podcast. We have a news blog, and we have our comments section, and we have email response from Phil. It's all there. So pick up your backstage pass right now, man. And our store's open, so you can buy our classic best of CDs as well. Stephen Bozell joining us here on the Phil Henry Show, and it's our one man's opinion segment, and we like to have people on who are listeners of ours, people who enjoy our program and want to weigh in on a few opinions, although this has a lot to do with Mr. Bozell's Christmas vacation as well. I know you gave an interview earlier with one of the TV stations, Mr. Bozell, is that correct?
Yes, sir. I was happy to talk to Channel 5 and gave him a comment on the on the Man of the Year, Mr. Zuckerberg, and I also was interviewed on one of the other shows. But I'm not here to do anything other than to try to stick up for myself, you know.
I understand that, sir. You've got in-laws coming into town for Christmas?
Yes, sir. And I had said to my wife that, you know, her mother and her father have been difficult for me, I think, at times to talk to. And
why is that?
I think it's just a personality clash. I don't know whether her father thinks that I'm, that I am the man for her. I don't know. But I have been gracious enough to have them come in on Christmas time. But I did say to her father last year, I said, you know, you have sort of, you know, misread me. We had a little bit of an argument because he thinks that I do too much complaining about things. And I said, this time next year, you know, my business is going to be doing more money. And that's not the case. And then the double whammy came when Time Magazine announced the Zuckerberg.
What does Mr. Zuckerberg have to do with your in-laws?
Well, I had told my wife's father in this argument that we had that I'm going to be doing, my business is going to be doing 10%, 20%, I think I said, 20% more business on the books than I did in 2009. Well, that's, you know, that didn't happen. And I'm sorry that it didn't happen, and I feel as bad as anybody that it didn't happen. And I don't think anybody's business did good.
No, and you made a very bold prediction there, but no one's business did good. You're right about that, except ours.
But I mean, I'm not. You know, I don't have a radio show or anything.
No, I'm just being facetious. But so, what does the Time Magazine?
Time Magazine, I think, did a disservice to men such as myself when they put Mark Zuckerberg on the cover, and I'll tell you why. I'm struggling like so many business people are struggling. I'm trying to make a living and keep a good living for my wife and for my two children. I have a son and I have a daughter. I'm living in a very expensive state. I live in the state of California. It's not the cheapest state in the world to live in, but I may do. But we've all suffered this past year. And Time Magazine just announced today, when I saw it and I heard it on the news, that I had I called the TV station and I called one of the radio stations that Mark Zuckerberg is Time Magazine Person of the Year. I thought that was, I have to tell you, Mr. Henry, to me, that was like pouring salt into an open wound. That was like the Indians used to cut a man with a knife and then put an ant on it. And to me,
they cut a man with a knife and put an ant on it. You mean an anthill?
No, it wouldn't be an anthill. It would be not an ant. They couldn't put it. They put ants. Yeah.
Okay. A kind of torture?
Yes, sir.
So you're saying that Mark Zuckerberg's naming as Person of the Year is torture for you, a businessman? Why?
Because, and I want to stress that I'm not. I don't think Mr. Zuckerberg is a bad man. I think I congratulate him. But I'm 38 years old. I'm going to be 40 years old in a year and a half. And they put on their Time Magazine cover of the year Mark Zuckerberg, who is 26 years old. And I can't even begin to tell you what that does to men like myself and other men who are my age and older to see this guy who's 26. And he's a millionaire many, many times over.
Yeah.
And he got to be a millionaire by setting up a website where you're going to meet a lot of people, including women. He's a multimillionaire. And he's richer than any rock star. He's richer than any movie star. And he's 26 years old, and he's going to meet all these women. So what it did was it told me basically that I'm not worth, you know.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
It just told me that I'm, and all the other men listening, we're not worth anything. We're worth less than what comes out of a, you know, as my father used to say, what comes out the back end of a horse, we're worth less than that.
Why would you say that, sir? You're a hardworking man with a wife and kids. You've got a business.
Because, sir, I'm 38 years old, and here is Mark Zuckerberg at the age of 26, and he has the world. He owns the world. I mean, he's got 500 million customers. You can't even, and any man that looks at that, you can't feel good about yourself.
I look at that. I'm 58 years old. I'm much older than you. I'm 20 years older than you, Steve. And I look at that man.
Yeah, but you have a radio show. You have a higher potential for earning.
No, that's not necessarily true. I mean, I got to struggle like everybody else. But I look at him as a remarkable kind of interesting person. The way I look at anybody else that's in the news, I don't necessarily, you know.
Yeah, but that's because you're in the media, and so you see things different from most people. Most people see it the way I see it, which is that Mark Zuckerberg, who founded Facebook, is an insult to be on the Time Magazine of the Year, that he gets to be the man of the year at the age of 26.
We're talking with Stephen Bozell about the announcing of Mark Zuckerberg as Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I understand you're at a school event tonight. Yes, sir?
Yes, we're at CK Gronitz. My daughter's middle school, and my son just is going to be entering a middle school next year, and it's one of the fundraisers they have, yeah.
Is it like a fiesta?
Yeah, it's like a carnival.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Mr. Bozell. You mentioned this, the impetus for this, sir, was your in-laws coming into town.
Yes, sir.
And that it was a conversation you had with your father-in-law.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Can you go over that again with me? Because,
well, it's not, you know, this is not no psychological, you know, I don't need a psychology doctor or anything.
No, I know that. I just wanted to get the chronology, and I guess I want to hear the story again, you know.
Well, it was last year at this time, Christmas time, and April, father was talking to me, and he, you know, laughing at me, and which, you know, he does, okay, that's fine. He can laugh all he wants, but I have a home, and
okay.
And he said that, you know, what do you think your business is going to do this next year? I said, I'm going to be up. I'll be up 10%, maybe even 20%. And he goes, I'll never get him pointing at me. You're on. You know, you're on. And, well, okay, I lost the bet.
Yep. What did you guys bet?
I know, it's a gentleman's bet. You know, I don't know, $100 or something. But
it was just the point of the bet, huh?
Yes, sir. And now not only has my business been off, but I have to walk by a newsstand and look at a man who's 26 years of age who's the man of the year. Now, I know my father-in-law. He's going to walk through that door this Saturday because they're coming in for Thanksgiving or coming in for Christmas. He's going to walk through the front door holding that magazine up.
And why would he do that? That's got nothing to do with your bet.
Because he anything he can do to remind me of the mountains that I have to climb in life, he'll do. Because of his daughter.
Boy, that guy sounds like a real pain in the ass.
He's a good man. I don't want to badmouth him. I would not badmouth my father-in-law, but, you know, in many ways, you're probably right. And I respect him because he's the father of my wife. I can't deny that I've had feelings of wanting to, you know, wanting to hurt him. I guess I'd say wanting to hurt him, you know. But
Well, that's not good.
No, it is not good. But I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to say that Mark Zuckerberg being Time Magazine's Man of the Year makes me and other men my age look like we have erectile dysfunction, if you want to get down to it.
Stephen Bozell with us, 877-876-PHIL. Mark Zuckerberg, and then we're going to take a break here, but I just want you to think on something, Mr. Bozell, and we'll take phone calls from our listeners. Mark Zuckerberg is a remarkable guy, there's no question, a visionary. And visionaries come along very, very rarely in the lifetime of a generation. You know, I've heard it said you can argue with someone who has an opinion, but you cannot argue with someone who has a vision. And he had a vision, and he put it into practice, and it just so happened to make him a lot of money. But everybody has a vision, you know?
Well, I'm sure what you're saying, you mean it to make me feel good, but it doesn't make me, I don't know even what you're talking about.
I'm saying that when you find in your life, finally, what your vision is, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world won't matter.
Well, I'm doing what I want to do.
All right, I understand that, sir. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Maybe I didn't put it the best way, but Stephen Bozell joining us, that a 39-year-old man who has his own construction business, but he said that Mark Zuckerberg, a 26-year-old visionary from back east who is the founder of Facebook, he says Time Magazine making him Person of the Year is an insult to every man of his generation who is older and has had to struggle. He also says that this is going to make him look bad with his father-in-law, who will be in town this Saturday. His father-in-law, he says, can't wait to hold up this Time Magazine and sort of just shove it into Mr. Bozell's face. Is Mark Zuckerberg, the 26-year-old founder of Facebook, being Time's Person of the Year, is this an insult to put him on the cover to older men who are less successful? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, is attending his daughter's school's carnival tonight. It is a little late in California, but they're keeping it going, huh?
Well, a lot of the kids have this week off, and they're going to take, I guess, extended Christmas. And I think it shuts down at midnight, so...
All right, so it's still a little early. Mr. Bozell, you're talking. We're going to take some phone calls here at 877-876-PHIL about Mark Zuckerberg being Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Have you contacted an attorney concerning this?
Yes, sir, I have.
And can you tell me why?
Yes, sir. We feel that Time Magazine, and there is precedent for this in law that... you just can't print anything you want. There is freedom of press. There's no question about freedom of press, and I support the freedom of the press. But there is also laws against certain material that is you know, injurious to the people that read it. And putting Mark Zuckerberg, who created a business that has, if you've ever been on, I'm sure you've been on Facebook.
Yes, sir. We have a Facebook page.
Okay, and they have Mafia Town and Farm Town.
They have Mafia Wars in Farmville, yeah.
This is an insult to me and to other men who work hard at businesses that create. I build houses. I build homes. I build structure. I build physical structures for people. And a man who's 26 years old and set up a website where you can go and find women and play farming games has insulted me and a lot of men. So what we would simply want is an injunction against this cover.
You want to enjoin Time Magazine from publishing the picture of this guy?
Yes, sir. Until we can just everybody take a step back and calm down and see what we got. You know?
Well, what you've got is Mark Zuckerberg, 26-year-old, wunderkind who has created this business.
And that term wunderkind, I think, is offensive. And I know what you're saying.
Mr. Bozell, you can't penalize a man for being successful. I've been listening to this all night, and I'm telling you that you want to sue.
No, I said enjoin Time Magazine to get at least it off the news rack so we can see what we've got.
877-876-PHIL is our number here. We'll take a phone call from Ramona this evening in Louisville. Ramona, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good.
Something's wrong with all your callers. They're all jealous. Envious. And I just think it's wrong that somebody could...
Is she talking to me?
No, I think she's talking to me. You're, of all of our callers?
taken offense
well,
to that is ridiculous.
I don't know what she's trying to say, but the only reason why Mark Zuckerberg, do you know who Mark Zuckerberg is, ma'am?
No, I don't, but with somebody else.
Well, he founded Facebook, and he was just named Time Magazine's Man of the Year, and so I've got to look at him on Time Magazine. And what about what I do? And what about what other men who are in their 40s do? And what about other men, you know? And yet he's Man of the Year at the age of, he's 26 years old, and everybody's putting their nose up his rear end and talking how great he is.
And so what do you think that does, Steve?
I think what it does is it demoralizes. It demoralizes a man when he sees this 26-year-old kid, you know, making billions and billions.
If everybody would come together and not be jealous of everybody, we could all do better by our neighbor.
Well, ma'am, I would love to live that way, but it's impossible. It's just, you know, that's a fairy book story.
That's what messes our whole world up.
I certainly would agree with you, but I think you've got your fairy tale here, and I'm living in a world now. See, you know what?
Well, it's not a fairy tale, is it?
She wants everybody to hold hands. In this world that I live in, you've got to go out and you've got to fight, and you might even die for what you believe in. And I'm out there trying to get up.
Yeah, my husband get up every day and do that. And believe me, we are not even to stature as far as where you're coming from. We're low income family.
Yeah, and that's wrong for you to get up and go out and carry somebody's.
There's people out there that's going to make the world a better place, and if that's how he gets it, so what?
Well, wait a second. You just said you're envious. You got to carry people's slop jars, and here's a guy at 26. He's filling the slop jar. Do you want to carry a man's?
Good for him.
You want to carry a 26-year-old man's slop jar? Boy, oh boy.
Who says she's carrying slop jars?
Well, she said that her and her husband. I thought you said, do you carry slop jars or?
What do you mean slop jars?
I don't know what the lady does.
Never mind, Ramon. It's fine. So, thank you for your call. And you know what? You keep on working hard, Ramona. 877-876 Phil, Gene in Boston. Go ahead.
It sounded to me like you just blew that lady off.
No, I'm trying to get in another phone call. Gene, go ahead, please.
I think that everybody in this world has gifts to give, and they have their strong points, and both men should be proud of what they've done, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with the. It's hard to hear.
What about if you were in a club? What about if you went to a nightclub and Mark Zuckerberg was a VIP and he waved you up? You'd go, wouldn't you? Yeah, you would. But if I'm standing there and I go, can I buy you a beer? You probably just laugh in my face.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's a loaded question to ask the lady. Gene, hang on the line here. We'll be right back with you. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Mark Zuckerberg, Man of the Year, Time Magazine. Is it an insult to older men for him to be on that cover? The Phil Hendry Show.
I think it is.
Phil Hendry.
Am I going to get to talk to that lady?
I hung up on her.
Right.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, our website is philhendryshow.com. If you want to get podcasts of our show, if you want to hear live streaming audio, which is included in our video, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Stephen Bozell joins us. And we're talking about, Mr. Bozell, the legal action that you and your attorney are contemplating against Time Magazine for making the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, the Time Person of the Year because he's a young man.
I'm not trying to punish Mark Zuckerberg. He founded Facebook. Facebook has got 500 million users. Facebook is going to make $2 billion when all is said and done. Mark Zuckerberg founded Facebook. That's about as big as a thing that has ever you can imagine, and I certainly don't think Mark Zuckerberg is Jesus Christ, but I think when you look at the culmination of two millennium, and a man died on the cross who was Jewish, and a man is on the cover of Time magazine who's Jewish, and both of them did something that's not never going to, you can never not, you know, even imagine anybody else. One of them died on a cross, another man invented Facebook.
Are you trying to compare what happened to Jesus to what Mark Zuckerberg?
No, I would not doing that. I'm just saying, you know, for religious people, what Jesus did is the biggest thing that has ever been done. For me and other men like me, Facebook, the guy that founded it being 26 years old, that's the biggest humiliation that I'm ever going to... There will never be another humiliation like this. And it happened to fall in my generation.
That he's 26 and you're 38 and you're not rich and...
Yeah, that's right. And
so you're enjoying Time magazine.
If my work can be featured, if they could show some of the buildings that I've done, I don't know, you know. But look at everything that Mark Zuckerberg has. And I'm talking to everybody listening on the radio tonight who's like me. Everybody listening is in the same boat. We can't make any money. We're having to, you know, go to the store with coupons. We're having to, you know, recycle, you know, eat food that's 3 days old or whatever, you know, eat leftovers. And we're all, you know, our kids are going to school with no proper clothing.
And you think everybody's that bad off, huh?
Mr. Henry, you're a radio person and everything. You make money.
Well, you know what? I'm not that rich, man. I ain't as rich as you think I am. 877-876-PHIL. All right, Gene is back with us from Boston. We didn't have a lot of time for you, Gene. Go ahead with your comment, please.
Oh, yeah. I just think that everybody has, like, their strong points. And I'm sure that Mr. Moselle has his as well. And he should focus on those and work on building himself up rather than putting somebody else down for what their successes have been, because everybody has gifts. So just focus on what you do well, and you're going to shine
look
in your own time, and maybe
look at your
different
life. Look at,
than Mr. Zuckerberg's
look at my life.
Time.
Look at your life. You and I live, you're living the way you are. Me, we don't have enough to eat. Our kids are going to school. No underwear. What? They're not warm enough. And Mark Zuckerberg is 26 years old. And he
doesn't give you the right. That doesn't give you the right to take stuff away from Mr. Zuckerman for his successes. You know what I mean?
Well, he found it. His name is Zuckerberg. Well, you called me Mr. Moselle, and there was a book out once called Walk on Moselle. And I thought you thought that that's who I was, the guy in that book. But Mr. Zuckerberg founded Facebook. You know what that means? That means that he could look at you, Gene, and say, you, into VIP now with me, and you'd go.
Well, now, wait a minute, man.
How could you turn that down?
She's going to turn it down. She just said.
If Mark Zuckerberg said, you, I want you here in VIP, I founded Facebook. You're going to say no? Oh, my God.
No, it doesn't impress. I congratulate him for a success, but that doesn't make him any better than anybody else, you know?
All right, Gene, thank you very much for calling us back. I appreciate it. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Here is this gentleman's name, Decatur, in Hagerstown, Maryland. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I just want to say one thing, man, and one couple things. First of all, if you concentrate on yourself, you don't have enough time to worry about anybody else but yourself. If you concentrate on what your business, what you wanted to do, to me, you will become a success like this young man was. I mean, you can't judge anybody by age, by character, or anything else, man. I mean, what you going to do? Are you mad at the man who invented cement for me to drive my truck on to go to work every day? He's a billionaire. He's up in the air.
What did he invent? Oh, cement, yeah. Because I'm in the construction business, I thank him for that. But the man that invented cement, he ain't on Time magazine cover either. You know,
and neither are you. Really, honestly and truly, to be richer than your heart. So somewhere down the line, you must not be happy with yourself, because you got to be happy
whole thing,
to appreciate what you have. Wait a minute. You have things, man, that a lot of people don't have at all. And you over here crying and tripping because your face ain't on the front of a magazine for building a house. Well, work a little bit harder, and maybe it will be. But if not, man, be happy for what you got.
Well,
That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. You're talking about not being as rich or being on the front of a magazine cover. Are you serious?
Well, sir, I am only from this standpoint.
You need to be. To me, this is what I would be doing if I was in your shoes. Where I could build houses, a success like you are. I would be holding my kids' hand in the carnival having a good time, not on this phone,
talking
about who's on the front of a magazine. You're going to see more younger people on the front of a magazine in due time, then what are you going to do about that?
See, the whole thing of it is you're right, I should be enjoying the carnival with April, but I have to say, I got to get this said because I just seen Mark Zuckerberg tonight. I didn't have a whole day to get used to it like maybe you did. And I looked and I went, I don't believe it. And you, sir, and me, and all the people that is listening, how come I'm not on the magazine? And I don't know how old you are. I'm pushing 40. And here's some 26-year-old guy who's going to be in VIP tonight. And he made up Farmville or however you say it, Farm Country, or I don't know what he does.
These are just applications that other people made up for Facebook.
I know, but
maybe this may help you a little bit. Because I'm just 35 years old. I grew up. I didn't have a childhood. I had to take care of my mother, my brother, my sister, and my niece at the age of 13 years old. I was a screw up in life, but it was all to better myself. And I got
you. Want to be doubly mad at this guy?
Why would he be mad at this guy?
Just hear me out, bro. I'm 35 years old. I own a $100,000 house now. And to me, man, that's a blessing. I'm so happy I don't know what to do. I work hard, and I take care of my family. You know, I see people out here with nothing, and you're complaining about a man's picture and a magazine. If only I could be that guy in that magazine.
That's all I'm asking for.
Why are you so jealous about this man for? He didn't do nothing to you, but came up with an invention. Hey, look, wait a minute. It's one little boy that came out of California that invented a toy that he can talk up underwater with. Okay, he hit the whole United Nations with it. Are you upset because he made that toy up and his dad took it and manufactured this toy?
What are you talking about? I never heard of no toy.
You can talk up underwater. A little kid made it. And his father manufactured the toy. He made millions and millions of dollars. I mean,
there you go. There's another example. That's another example of how we're both getting stepped on. We're getting stepped on.
That's why your business is not going nowhere. Because you're belittling people, man. You're not right.
My daughter came over here just a moment ago. My daughter said, Daddy, will you go on the octopus with me? And I said, how can I go on the octopus with you when I got a Time magazine staring? I got this guy staring at me from a magazine.
What the hell? Your daughter just asked you to go on a ride? Well, look at Decatur. Very good points. Very good life lessons there, I think. Thank you, sir. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL.
Dude, that guy doesn't even know. He doesn't even know how bad he's got it because he was talking about how, you know, I ought to be happy here, there, and everywhere. And meanwhile, he and I are both being stepped on. That kid that made that toy, I didn't know anything about that. And why anyone would not tell me about that, I don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't sure what he was talking about. Jace, do you know? He was talking about maybe it was something that was invented here. I don't know.
I'm at a carnival, Mr. Henry. Don't you think a carnival would make me feel, you know, like I'm...
People are happy at carnivals, yeah.
Yeah, and all I want to do... God forbid, forgive me, but all I want to do is get on the Ferris wheel, wait for the wheel to get to the top, and just climb out of the bucket.
And do what?
I want to fall out of that bucket and hit every girder on the way down.
You know, Mr. Bozell, you're very dramatic. You have your attorney trying to enjoin Time magazine. I think that man gave you the best advice in the world, which was to enjoy the carnival with your daughter. Here is Roy in Raleigh, North Carolina. Roy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell.
Hi, Phil. I tell you what.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't sure. You know, just listen to this guy's demeanor and some of what he's actually putting out here, I was beginning to think this was a put on. Some kind of joke. I dropped in on the conversation. I don't know. I didn't know which came first, the question or this guy. Where did you find him?
I don't understand it. I mean, how am I supposed to? Why would you guys call me a joke when I'm telling you that every man in America tonight is looking at that picture and they're saying, "Why not me?" And you call that funny?
The caller prior to me. Stole all my thunder because he made all my talking points. That's the thing is, man, look, you say you're 38 years old, you own a construction company, you're at a fair with your daughter, and you're pissing on yourself because you think Mark Zuckerberg does not belong on Time Magazine cover. If you want your own light to shine, then do something to make it shine. Do something to get your home on a cover. But, you know, there are people who are much worse off than you, and you're the kind of guy that end up as a pilot for a Law and Order episode because, you know, I'm afraid of you. I wake up in the morning and see on the news where some guy killed his whole family because he's worried about Mark Zuckerberg being on Time Magazine, or he goes into a town hall meeting and starts shooting at all the town hall people because Mark Zuckerberg is on Time Magazine. You're just purely scary, guy. That's all I got.
You know, sir, I would like the record to show that Mr. Henry's all laughing. You're talking about, and here's Mr. Henry.
What the gentleman said was funny.
Sure, he's laughing. Oh. I mean, look, like I said, I thought this was a put-up because you're past ridiculous. You're beyond ridiculous with your wine and everything. And you're that worried about what your father-in-law is thinking about you. I mean, he's already given you his daughter, and now he's worried about what you're going to do with his daughter.
Sure. No, sir.
I'd be worried about whether or not you have any guns in the house. That's the only thing I'd be worried about if you were my son-in-law. And believe it or not, you're young enough to be my son-in-law. I have a daughter who's older than you. I'm 58.
Sure,
I just got off of work at 2 a.m. after I was laid off from the job 6 months ago. You know,
oh,
and I just
no,
got
really?
Another job, and I'm working to 2 a.m. in the morning. Man, what the hell are you talking about? Get a life. Go to
sir,
life.
Sir, I'm trying to say to you, I'm speaking on behalf of you.
Quit building homes and build yourself a better life.
I'm speaking for you when I say that Mark Zuckerberg's 26 and he's staring back at you and me and saying, I'm in VIP and you're not.
Look, I used to call Sarah Palin stupid until I realized in less than 2 years she's made over $12 million, and I've been working for 40, and I haven't made my first million yet. So I stopped calling her stupid. The people who I call stupid now, the people who are buying the books, who are paying to hear her speak, and people who are complaining about the fact that Mark Zuckerberg's picture is on Time Magazine.
I'm just saying, don't you feel as a man in his 40s, don't you feel like Mark Zuckerberg's looking at you and laughing at you, just like he's laughing at me?
Will you get off of it, man?
That's how you feel about yourself. You think he's looking at you that way. Mark Zuckerberg wouldn't know you from a can of paint. Could care less.
No, I'm telling
you. I mean, he's doing what he does. He's trying to help people who are trying to help themselves. Believe me, he's not thinking about guys who's at a carnival with his daughter, and he's worried about jumping out of the bucket when he gets to the top of the Ferris wheel. Believe me, Mark Zuckerberg, you're the last thing on his mind. That's true, man.
That's true.
Mr. Henry, I was not serious. I was telling you my state of mind.
You threatened suicide. No wonder the guy was thinking you're a joke. You said you want to drop out of the bucket.
I was telling you about my state of mind, and you think it's funny, and I've heard you laughing now like a hyena at everything this man says. And
the gentleman's funny. He's making me laugh at some of the stuff that you've been saying, sir. Mr. Bozell, I don't want your life to be a bad life. I think it sounds to me like a lot of people are saying, you got a good life. You have a wife. You have two children. You're at a carnival, you know?
Yes, I am at a carnival. And guess who the clown is? Me. Because I look down and there's that Zuckerberg staring. He's staring bullets through me. He's staring holes right through my skull. And he's saying, man, if I got it made, and look at you at a carnival.
Oh, God.
Okay, Roy, thanks so much for your call, sir. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and Mr. Bozell will be back on our final segment here as we talk about Mark Zuckerberg. He is the founder of Facebook, He is Time Magazine's Person of the Year, and why not? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, God.
We'll be right back.
listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to another phone call. Stephen Bozell on the line with us. Next hour, we have our news hour with Robert Leonard and with Bud Dickman. Go ahead, Carl. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I just wanted to let him know that not every person named to be Time Magazine Man of the Year is the greatest guy in the world. Adolf Hitler was a Time Magazine Man of the Year. And there have been many other dubious figures who've been named Time Magazine Man of the Year. That award is given to the person that, for whatever reason, they feel has the most impact. But it doesn't mean he's the greatest guy or the most successful or whatever. Adolf Hitler was on top of the world. Bernie Madoff was on top of the world. And see where they wound up.
But yeah, but Adolf Hitler, you got to say, the time they made him, you know, they made him the man of the year. He was, you know, he was having great success. And
No. The gentleman's saying that it's the person with the most effect, and they're not necessarily good people. You know, there were complaints when Adolf Hitler was man of the year, and there were all these things. You know.
Well, if you guys are trying to compare Mark Zuckerberg to Adolf Hitler, I think you guys, both of you, need to go to a doctor.
Nobody's comparing Adolf Hitler. They're not doing that.
Point?
Go ahead, sir.
Well, there's also a minister that came out and who said he told all his parishioners to stay away from Facebook. He says it's actually undermining the American marriage. There are people who are happily married and they're getting these emails saying, you know, from a girlfriend in the past saying they want to be your friend. And he says it's destroying marriages. He's got married couples coming to him saying that their spouses are cheating and it's tearing their marriages up because they're on Facebook.
Well, I don't know what that's got to do with me because I'm. What is he saying? I'm still not on Facebook.
My point is, just because he's on top right now with billions of dollars doesn't mean that he's going to be there 20 or 30 years from now. He's a man like any other man. He's going to eat. He's going to die, and he's going to everything that he builds up on this earth is going to pass away.
Yeah, but right now he's going down to the VIP, and he's doing.
The treasures that you imagine.
Jello shots off of a girl's boon, you know. The treasurer. You mean the Treasury Department?
The treasurer.
No, he's talking about the Bible. Yes. Go ahead, Carl. Give the quote.
The treasure, if he let me finish, the wealth and the treasures that you amass in this world will pass away. The treasures you amass in the kingdom of heaven will last eternally. That's all I have to say.
Okay, but there is treasure in the kingdom of heaven, and I wonder, Mr. Henry. Yeah, if that man knows.
Well, then we're going to let him go. Thank you, sir.
I wonder if in the kingdom of heaven is Mark Zuckerberg going to be doing, you know, jello shots off of a woman's boom?
What?
Is Mark Zuckerberg going to be doing jello shots in heaven off of a woman's boom? Boom.
Are you trying to say breast?
Yeah, but I was going to say the word everyone knows.
Is he going to be doing jello shots off of a woman's boob in heaven?
Yeah. Will he be doing jello shots? See how you can say it?
Say what?
Boom. My mother used to burn me with a cigarette.
Your mother burned you with a cigarette? Why?
Because are you telling me that Mark Zuckerberg is going to be doing jello shots off a woman's boom?
Mr. Bozell.
Hold on. I got to be able to do it. I got to be able to do something that Zuckerberg can do. Because someday, when all is ended, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I ask God, can I do jello shots off of a woman's
You know, Steve, if you talk that way.
Don't you laugh at me.
No, seriously. If you talk that way at the pearly gates, man, they're going to turn you around and send you back, man.
Oh, okay, sure. I'm going to go to hell because I can't say the word boo. I'd go to hell if I could say the word boo. What I'm trying to say...
I understand. You want to know why Mark Zuckerberg gets to do jello shots off of a woman's boob and you don't.
Yeah, but see, you can say boo.
God, what is wrong with you, man?
I told you my mother would burn me with a cigarette if I said boo. Boo. Hey, you go ahead and laugh. You can say boo.
Phil Hendry.
broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I have just two words for you, my colleague.
I wasn't aware of this going on, this taking place.
It hurts.
And all.
It hurts. Like I said, they don't know me.
Time Magazine's Person of the Year for 2010.
I was born of a whore and bred as an assassin.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. We go where other talk shows cannot go, and we do what other talk shows cannot do. You might say that I have nowhere near the talent, nor will I ever be considered his equal, and that is absolutely correct. But you might say that we're sort of the John Lennon of talk radio, because someday someone is going to be stalking me, and they're going to want to be me, and they're going to realize that I'm an impediment.
What are you talking about, man?
I don't know. I just thought I'd say that.
You were talking about that in a pre-show. You should tell people.
No, I am not going to tell people nothing. Not going to tell them nothing. By the way, our very, very, I would say I consider him to be a friend, but I more than anything, he was a colleague and a very dear colleague, Neil Rogers of Miami, who spent decades in our industry, talk radio, who is the greatest single radio talent that I've ever heard in my life. And he is, in point of fact, the greatest single radio talent you'll ever hear in your life, if you ever get an opportunity to hear any of his archival material. He's better than anybody that I ever heard, with all due respect to, you know, the many that we think are great. They don't even touch him. He's very ill in Miami. I'm hoping that I can get down and see him in the next, hopefully next week or so. And, you know, I'd like to say get well to Neil, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But I will say I love you, Neil, and I thank you for teaching me so much about this business, so much about timing, about how to get phone calls on and off the air, about how seriously to take this and what really is it that motivates the audience and how to use production elements in radio, and how to do a radio show, which is essentially this, folks. This is a radio show, in case you don't know, okay? This is it. Now, I know I have Bud and I have Robert here, okay? But you're only with me for 1 hour.
Yeah, that's true.
A radio show is one person sitting at a microphone and creating an audio movie for the people that are listening. That's it in a nutshell. So a guy who's doing a radio show can suddenly have, you know, that kind of thing happening. And if he wants to, he can go and he can find some midget or some elf and he'll say,
I was born of a whore.
And do that. And, you know, and some days if he isn't feeling too good, he can have a guy saying,
I was a sucker.
And saying, well, I'm sorry, Rick, I feel that way too some days. So Neil used all of these elements and he taught anybody who worked with him how to do radio. And I think that it is important to acknowledge. And we work in a business, we work in an industry that is in very, very bad shape. The talent and the radio shows, they're fine. But we have a man who, as I said, in Neil Rogers, who is a giant in our business. And I don't know that anybody who runs a radio company in this country of ours, anybody who is a so-called NAB member, somebody who's a suit, someone who's a CEO, somebody who's got all more money than brains, you know who you are. Have any of you acknowledged this man? Have any of you, you ought to get down on your hands and your knees to kiss his rear end. You want my honest opinion, but I don't think there's too many guys bright enough to even know that. He was a great talent. He deserves to have a send-off like Frank Sinatra had, like Bob Hope had, like any great person had, but he was working in radio. So it's not exactly a nightclub act in Vegas. I understand that. It's not the Beatles. I get that. But it just happens to be radio, something that millions and millions and millions of people listen to every single day, if not billions. It's a very pervasive medium. Everybody uses it, and he was a giant in our business. So let me tell you what should happen. Everyone in our industry should be turning to the southeast tonight and looking toward Miami and saying, thank you very much, Neil, for making our industry you know, not a laughing stock. And, you know, thank you for giving us an example of what is great so that we will always know what we have to shoot for. Thank you. Now, that's what should happen. But we've got an industry today, folks, that is running around with its whole, it can't find its ass with both hands. It doesn't know whether it's coming or going. It's run by the dumbest people you ever met in your life, being run into the ground. Company's not worth a nickel. And these guys wouldn't be able to find talent, man, if you gave them a flashlight, a head start, and a bag of Spanish doubloons at the end of the trail. They wouldn't be able to find any talent. And yet tonight we have this man who is lying in a hospice in Miami, who may be breathing his last. And I am ashamed of this business. Ashamed of it. And television wouldn't treat one of its own like this. Publishing wouldn't treat one of its own like this. The film business wouldn't treat one of its own like this. But in only in radio is this disrespect a part of everyday life. Now, I say this because I can, and I say it also because I know what I'm talking about. I say it because I'm one of the senior members of this profession. I've been in it a long time, and I've been around the horn, and there ain't nothing anybody's going to tell me about radio. There isn't anything anybody's going to tell me about broadcasting, and nobody got anything to teach me. When it comes to how to do a radio show, there was nobody better. So I want you to remember that name, Neil Rogers. And if you have an opportunity, you can check out George Rodriguez's show on SouthFloridaRadio.com. George and Boca Bryan are doing tributes to Neil. They're running a lot of his bits. They're playing a lot of the stuff that Bryan would write for Neil's show. They're also there's also clips on Neil's website, archived clips on his website. I put one up on my Facebook page called the Bridge Tender, which is a riot. As a matter of fact, why don't we play it?
Yeah, I never heard the Bridge Tender or anything like that.
Well, go ahead and play that.
All right, well, the Bridge Tender is it's a funny bit. And it was a guy calling one day, Neil's show, and he was on WIOD in Miami in the early 90s. And Neil had been talking about, if you've ever been to Miami, there's an intercoastal canal. And the intercoastal canal in Miami just literally separates the beach from the inland portions of Miami. And so he was talking, and rightfully so, because I lived on the beach, but I had to commute inland. So anytime you needed to go inland or come over to the beach, you had to wait for the bridge to either go up or down. Sometimes if boats were going by, the cars would stop dead. And it was an inconvenience. And if you're driving a car, of course, you are really pissed off. So here was Neil one day going on, and this was the beauty of Neil Rogers. He spoke for people. He was speaking for everybody in Miami when he said, "What's with these bridges? You know, I'm trying to get to work." Well, he took a phone call from him, from this guy, the bridge tender. Here it is.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about bridges.
About what?
Cars and boats that you talked about earlier.
About what?
Bridges. Cars and boats.
Now, we're talking about bridges over the causeway, not the ones in your mouth.
I don't have any, my friend.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah.
Calm down, sir. Take a deep breath.
Dandy. Those are regulated by the United Corps of Engineers. Okay. You knew that, didn't you?
No.
Well, it is. All bridges over navigable waterways.
See, if I knew that, I wouldn't have been asking, see?
What's that?
I said if I knew the answer to the question, I wouldn't have asked it in the first place.
Okay, well, all I'm saying, sir, is that the United States Corps of Engineers are the ones that regulate bridges over navigable waterways.
Over what?
Navigable waterways.
Yes, sir, okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's up to them to decide what time the bridges should not be open to the marine traffic.
Yes. And what time should they not be open to marine traffic, sir?
I'm telling you that they come up with the times.
Well, what is the time?
I believe it's at rush hour times, sir, that that they are not open to marine traffic. Other than that, they are open to marine traffic.
So, in other words, any schlep with a boat can come along and back up traffic for 2 miles.
That is absolutely correct, sir.
Well, what kind of a communist bunch of crap is that?
That is not a communist bunch of crap, sir.
Sounds like
you
some kind of Neanderthal fascist commie pinko conspiracy to me.
You've got 5,000 automobiles to one boat.
Right, exactly.
So the boat is going to stop for 5,000 cars? Is that it?
No, I think that 50,000 cars ought to stop for one jackass in his boat. I think that's what they ought to do.
Man, you better know your laws, mister, because you sure don't.
That's right.
I suppose you want the damn bridges closed to boat traffic in a hurricane, too.
I want the bridges closed, period, okay? I want them closed. I want the bridge tender to go home and watch MTV and get the hell out of our lives.
In other words,
I want those bridges closed. Let them use the Julia Tuttle, okay? Let them use them across the causeway. I think they all ought to go on the George Washington Bridge and jump, all the bridge tenders. How do you like that, sir?
Well, I don't know about you, but you sound like some stupid, idiotic jerk.
That's Neil with the bridge tender. And that doesn't even give you an example of how he used drops, how he used music, how he used sound effects. That's just Neil interacting with a great call. And speaking for everybody, these bridges and these bridge tenders, man, they got to go. So that's Neil Rogers on WIOD radio in Miami. All right, coming up, the top Twitter,
Twitter trend.
The top Twitter trends of 2010. Plus, are Neil Diamond and Tom Waits considered rock and roll? Well, they're considered rock and roll, but would you and I consider them rock and roll?
I don't even know who they are.
Me neither, but all right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show. We have the top 10 Twitter trends in 2010, baby. And we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with us. What do you think the top one is, Robert?
I don't know, man. I think I would say like BP.
I think it's Justin Bieber.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, what is it?
Justin Bieber? The top trend of 2010, Robert had it, the Gulf oil spill.
Are you? You saw it.
I saw it.
Oh, you did see it?
Yeah, I saw it. I pulled the story.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's the Gulf oil spill. Justin Bieber's number eight. Justin Bieber is the only real human being on this list. Harry Potter is on here, and there's an octopus on here, but the top 10 trending topics on Twitter are all events, or the movie Inception, if you're ready for that. I think that's the only movie that's on here. Well, here they are. How should I do this? I guess people get upset with me if, you know.
Yeah, do it like number 10 to 9, 7, you know.
What do you mean 7?
You mean 9, 8, 7.
Well, where does it go?
Are you kidding me, man?
You gotta be kidding me.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, okay, great. God, man. What if you were going to have an operation, the doctor says, count backwards from 100?
Huh?
When they're giving you the gas to put you under, they'll say, count backwards from 100. Go ahead.
Doing what?
Count backwards from 100.
Yeah, you go backward from 100. 100, and then what's next?
Well, what are you talking about?
Forget it, man, okay?
You guys... Man, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, uh-huh. I'm asking you to count backwards from 100. Do you know how to do 100, 99, 98? Go ahead.
Okay, 100, 99, 98.
What else?
You don't know any else?
They just did enough.
Get out of here, will you? The number one trending topic on the microblogging website Twitter this year, however, wasn't a teenage pop singer. It was the Gulf oil spill, the months-long environmental disaster in which millions of gallons of petroleum leaked into the Gulf of Mexico after an explosion on a BP oil well that killed 11 people. The leak started in April, and the well was officially capped in September. I totally get it about that. I was freaking out about it. Everybody I knew was freaking out about that because suddenly you know, it was one of those rare moments where I don't live in the Gulf. I live in California. But watching that oil just pouring into the Gulf, and you're looking at the people that are going to lose their jobs, and you're looking at the people who are in the tourism thing, you know,
Yeah, and you didn't know it, if they're ever going to get a cap now, because that's the deepest well they ever had.
Well, that was the other thing. I think a lot of people were thinking the way I was. They may not cap this thing for months.
What would what do you think would have happened if they not been able to do it for a long time?
Well, it just would have kept on seeping out. It would have impacted the world's ecology, I think. I mean, because if it got out of the Gulf, the oil, and it has. I mean, let's be reasonable. There was enough oil pumping out of that thing that it's probably seeped into the world's oceans by now. And at some point, at some level, I don't know how far, but the fact is, it would have had horrible impact environmentally. You know.
Yeah, but what like what if right now it's still pumping oil?
I don't know. I can't even imagine. If it's still pumping oil now in December, it would be a disaster, Jack, because, look, we've got winter storms. I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know how the currents are. And you know.
Well, it would have been out of the Caribbean. What do you call it? Caribbean? Or
the Caribbean? The Caribbean?
Man, you know, you ought to read a book before you come on.
You don't read no book.
The Caribbean, man. Yeah, it by now would have gotten out of the Caribbean. It would be in the Atlantic. It would be going into the South Atlantic, going into the North Atlantic. It would catch those Gulf Streams, whatever the hell they call them, and it would be circling the globe. It was ugly. The leak started in April, and the well was capped in September. Although the environmental disaster, which was the largest accidental oil spill in the Caribbean, I just thought of that.
Man, you don't even know what it's called, do you?
Yeah, I do. I said it, The Caribbean is what I thought, but then I saw it again.
Anyway, although the environmental disaster was the largest accidental oil spill in the history of the petroleum industry, it's not really a spill, has been referred to in many ways the BP oil spill, the BP oil disaster, and the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Among them, more people wrote the words Gulf oil spill on Twitter than any other reference to the tragedy. I remember during that time, again, this is not an oil spill, it's like an oil leak, but say oil leak just doesn't quite get it. The list of 2010 Twitter trends reflects what's happening in our world. It demonstrates the power of turning any event or story into a shared experience, and it underscores Twitter's value as a real-time information network, the social media site said in a blog post. That was them promoting themselves. That wasn't something that they're writing in the LA Times. Thank you very much. More than 25 billion messages, each tweet 140 characters or less, have been sent so far this year, according to Twitter.
They're probably lying, too.
Probably. Anyway, here it is. Number 10. Pulpo Paul. For those wondering who Pulpo Paul is, Paul the octopus, reportedly hatched January 2008, died in October of 2010, was a common octopus from Weymouth, England, who lived in a tank at a commercial attraction, the Sea Life Center in Oberhausen, Germany. Paul became internationally famous after his feeding behavior was used to correctly predict the winner of each of Germany's seven matches. The poor animal was used for the sporting fun of the Germans and then died.
Just like a Krauss, man, to kill slave labor on an octopus.
Yeah, slave labor on an octopus.
Well, you can't say.
Uh-huh. Number 9, Harry Potter and the Deathly Deathly Hallows. Number 8, Justin Bieber. Number 7, Google Android. Number 6, Apple iPad. Number 5, Vuvuzelas. Number 4, the Haiti earthquake. Boy, we forgot about that one. Remember, we were riding that for a long time. Number 3, Inception. Number 2, the World Cup. And number 1 was the Gulf oil spill. And for those who want the next 20, we've got them actually, the lists of people, movies, television. Here, for instance, are the top 10 people. So that was just the top 10 topics. I don't know. I think Twitter did it on purpose. They made it all alliterative.
What is that?
When all the letters start with the same letter. All right. When all the words start with the same letter. All right. So that was the top trending topics altogether. Here are the top trending people. Joni Roquette, a Canadian figure skater. I never heard of her.
Me neither.
Number 9, Kim Hee Chi Wee. Get out of here. Seriously?
You never heard Kim Chi Wee? It's good.
Yeah, it's good. He doesn't even know if it's a woman or a man.
I do, but I forget.
Kim Chi Wee. That ain't even a cat's name if it's a guy. Kate Middleton, number 7, Zilda Arms, popular Brazilian aid worker who died. Number 6, Lil Kim. No kidding. Way to do it, Kim. Way to make that big comeback. Way to whatever. Number 5, Mel Gibson, just because he was just going ape.
Yeah, he was a top trending topic because he was going to kick somebody's ass.
That's right. Not for any reason other than he wanted to kick someone's ass. Number four, Julian Assange, who should only be drugged behind a truck as far as I'm concerned. I'm kidding. Well, not really. Number three, Lady Gaga. Number two, Dilma Rousseff, current president-elect of Brazil.
Cricket, cricket.
No kidding. And then number one, bud, Justin Bieber, which he was number eight. He's the number one trending guy. Number top 10 trending movies. Number 10, Paranormal Activity. Number nine, The Chronicles of Narnia, which I hear stiff. The most recent one is stiffing. Oh, man, does it stink. Number eight, The Expendables. Number seven, and they were. Number seven, The Twilight Saga Eclipse. Number six, The Last Airbender. Number five, Karate Kid. Number four, Despicable Me. Number five, and I'm talking about myself there, and then the movie's also called that. Number three, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Number two, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Number one, Inception, baby. Inception. Phil Henry Show, broadcasting from near Point Conception on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. So you get that, bud?
Yeah, look up.
Look up hate crimes.
Look up hate crime.
S-I-N-C-E, since Obama has been president.
How do you spell since?
Oh, are you kidding me?
Let me do it, man.
I'm going to do it.
Look up hate crime since Obama's been president.
What are you talking so fast?
Hey, dude, I ain't talking all that fast. You ain't writing very fast. How do you spell since?
Look at this. Look how I spelled it, man.
S-I-N-S.
Give it.
Give it to Robert. Let him do it. The reason why I'm asking him this is because we had a discussion here. See, I can have very intelligent discussions with Robert and Bud, but the problem is he can't write. So, you know, it's like I know how to talk to these guys if they were only literate. But I was asking because has there, I want to know if there have been more hate crimes since Obama's been president. Now, that's not what we're dealing with in the next story. It's not a hate crime. But I'm trying to get some handle on something. My perception is that these kinds of dumbass racists are coming out of the woodwork more since Obama was president. That's been my perception. I've seen a lot of these really bold, stupid, dumb rednecks with their hanging black people, you know, from the tree thing, and I've got every right in the world to do that. Yeah, I know you got all the rights in the world. You got every right in the world to do it, you know, but the fact is you just outed yourself as some kind of dumb cracker redneck racist. And now here's a guy in Abbotsford, Wisconsin. His name's Mark Pryor, and he's about as dumb as the day is long. This guy had a sign excluding black people from a future Abbotsford, Wisconsin strip club. It's pissing people off. It's a sign generations of people may have never seen. It says, no Negroes allowed. Mark Pryor says it's his right to discriminate. He got it wrong, and I'll tell you why. And by the way, it didn't say no Negroes allowed. It usually said colored service here, you know. If I've got a problem with you, it's going to be on the front of my store, says Mark Pryor. Ain't that just bold and proud and just so proudly bold? Pryor posted his No Negroes Allowed sign after he says he had some problems with some black people in the past and needed to make a policy against them. Now, what Mark Pryor may know or may not know, and this is also something that's very common these days, federal and state law says if business is open to the public, prohibiting people based on race is illegal. That happens to be a part of the public accommodations portion of the Civil Rights Act. If you are open for business to the public, then you cannot discriminate based upon race, ethnicity, ba-boom, ba-bing, ba-bung. You can't. You're not allowed to. That's why these doctors that said, I won't treat gay people, and they thought they were being all smart and bold and, you know, constitutional rights and all that, they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground either. They may be good doctors, but there is a little thing called the law you ought to brush up on there, doc, if you're running a business. Now, what we have today, and I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, we have a generation. We got a lot of people with their big fat mouths open. Bap, 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 bap. I do it for a living, so you'll forgive me. But there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions. They're blowing a lot of hot air. There's a lot of opinion, and there ain't a whole hell of a lot of education behind it. That's what's going on, and we're finding this out. So when someone says, I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and when you say to them, well, yeah, but the law says, well, you know, they don't even want to talk about the law.
Yeah, but what do you mean about the law? Well, the law could be wrong.
Well, hold on for a minute, man, okay?
What do you mean the law is going to be wrong?
If the law is not right.
Well, wait a minute. If the law isn't right, we have ways of changing the law, don't we?
Yeah, what about civil disobedience and everything?
Oh, well, that civil disobedience is fine. Civil disobedience is great. But it is civil disobedience. You understand what that means?
What?
It's against the law.
You mean, well, if you go and you're going to be a civil disobedient, that's good, right?
I don't know. Maybe it's bad. I'm going to be civil disobedient. I'm not going to let black people into my bar. Do you think that's cool?
No.
All right, but that's civil disobedience.
Well, I mean, like Dr. King is what I mean.
Oh, well, Dr. King was one kind of civil disobedience. Mahatma Gandhi, that was one kind of civil disobedience. There's all kinds of civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is simply willfully breaking the law to make a larger moral point. When you willfully and knowingly break the law, to make this larger moral point, you should expect to be arrested, and you should expect to go to jail, and if you had any guts at all, you'd stand in front of that judge and plead guilty, because what you were doing was knowingly breaking the law. So you break the law, how do you plead? Guilty, Your Honor. A lot of these people plead not guilty because I think they get confused. I don't even think they know what the hell it is they're doing.
What with this guy?
But the point that I was making is, now that's the people that are civil, you know, doing civil disobedience. I think there's a lot of people, you know, we were saying that there's a lot of technology, but there's not a whole hell of a lot to, you know, we have a lot of delivery systems these days, folks. For instance, in radio, television, and film, but there ain't a whole hell of a lot to deliver. You know, it's kind of like having a fleet of first-class freight delivering trucks, but you don't have anything to put them in except maybe a couple of shoes. There's nothing to deliver. Nobody's making anything, you know. Broadcasting's like that. And what we have today is the information exchange is like that. There's a lot of hot air, but there's nothing in there. So if a guy says, I think this, 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 and this, well, it's against the law. Well, you know, that's not right. And but it's still against the law. Well, they want to blow over that, man, and they don't understand that sooner or later you're going to be held accountable. And when you hold people like that accountable, they suddenly look shocked. They got the big bugged-out eyes. Oh, my goodness, what are you doing? You're under arrest for the violation of the law I kept telling you about. Well, that's not right. Well, yeah, maybe it isn't right for some people, but for you, it looks just about right to me, man, because I've been listening to you with your mouth here. So here's this guy, Mark Pryor, in Abbotsford, Wisconsin. He's about as stupid as the day is long, and he says, I don't have to serve nobody that I'm going to blah, 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 blah. Here's a typical quote from one of these jackasses. I'm going to stick to my guns because I think I have the right as a business owner to reject service to anyone. It's not all the black people. There are just a few bad ones, Pryor says, of his problems in the past. Well, you know, when you see a black man, you shouldn't say, hey, boy, or anything else like that. Mark, do you know about that?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Well, see, you'll probably get a guy pissed at you if he's black and you call him the N-word.
Well, I got a right to say the thing.
Yeah, I guess you do have a right to say the thing, but I'm just telling you.
What do you say?
I'm saying if you say N-word, the guy's going to haul off and he's going to park your teeth in your stomach. How do you feel about that? Well, that isn't right because I have... Oh, God. Oh, God. Anyway, Pryor wants to open a gentleman's club. Yeah, I'll bet he does. He does. He says he wants to open a gentleman's club in a building next to the Abbotsford City Hall and Library. He says he moved his sign inside after someone with the city asked him to remove it. Now, here's where he may have a point. If it is a private club, then he can exclude anybody that he wants. However, he's calling it a gentleman's club. It's a strip bar, and it will be open to the public. And he says he said it's not just black people he's going to ban from his future establishment. He says he has a problem with certain white people as well. But is this guy kidding? Anyway, what he's going to find out is that he's going to find out he's got to let them all in.
If I have a problem with you, this is going to be on the front of my store. Stick to my guns because I think I have the right as a business owner to reject service to anyone. And
You know, it's not all the black people. There's just a few bad ones. That's the policy. I'm gonna stick to my guns.
You're an idiot. You're not gonna be able to stick to anything, man. You know, except maybe the bunk. All right, 877-876-PHIL here at the world famous Phil Henry Show as we move on now to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
This is one I'm trying to figure out.
All right, well, you don't think that Neil Diamond's rock and roll. Maybe I don't either. You don't think who?
I don't think Tom Waits. He ain't rock and roll. He's like folk music or something.
Tom Waits is folk music? Well, Alice Cooper, Neil Diamond, Darlene Love, and Dr. John the Night Tripper have all been inducted into the 2011 Hall of Fame the foundation announced on Wednesday. With the exception of Waits, this was a first-time nomination for all the inductees. Artists aren't eligible for induction until 25 years have passed, and hopefully they're dead. No, I'm kidding. It doesn't say that. They're not eligible for induction until 25 years have passed and people have forgotten all about their music and have stopped buying their records, so that maybe this induction will help promote record sales, but it generally doesn't. Or maybe Keith Richards will do an album with them or something. So anyway, here is a clip of Alice Cooper's School's Out because he got nominated. Nominated or he won?
I think this is just now a nominee of No,
they got inducted, you jackball. They're in, baby. It says here they've all been inducted, so it's a first-time nomination. When were they nominated? I don't know. Anyway, here's Alice Cooper. All right, now here is Tom Waits.
Be careful of them in the dark. Oh, if I was the one, you chose to be your only one.
Hey, now, who is he?
I don't know. I've never heard this song before. So I was listening to School's Out, and now this. Anyway, that's very good, Mr. Waits. Thank you. Here is Neil Diamond.
Reaching out.
I know this song. It's called, Sweet Caroline. Yeah.
Touching you.
Oh, sweet. Okay, thanks. Darlene Love.
My baby is always the one.
Thanks. And the next one, no, I'm kidding.
My baby is always the one to try the things they've never done. Just because of that, they say.
Oh, yeah. He's a rebel and he'll never be any good.
Oh, yeah.
He's a rebel.
You know this song.
Because he doesn't do what
everybody else does.
That's the reason why I can't give you all my love.
He is lousy juvie. He is in a gang.
Because he's not a rebel.
So that's about a girl falling in love with a gang member. And finally, Dr. John.
Just got to give myself a good talking to this town.
Yeah.
Woo. Just need a little brain salad surgery. Got to cue my insecurity. I've been in the wrong place.
But it must have been the right time.
I'm on this song.
I've been in the right place.
Yeah, I know.
It must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right place. But it seems like a wrong song. I've been in the right place.
God, this reminds me of my first years in radio. This came out like my second year or something in radio. That's Dr. John the Night Tripper there. So in any event, some of the younger nominees like Bon Jovi, the Beastie Boys, and LL Cool J, who along with the Beastie Boys has been nominated for induction more than once, will just have to hope for next year. And I notice here, Alice Cooper, Tom Waits, Neil Diamond, all these cats are like, that's way back when, you know?
Yeah, they're probably out of wait a while, man, before they, 25 years, though?
Yeah, 25 years. LL Cool J was 25 years? Really?
Probably, yeah. LL Cool J, he was around, and the other guy, too. Who's the guy that did Wild Thing?
You quit belching, man. Tone Loc.
Yeah, Tone Loc.
Was that in the 80s?
No, that was like, no. Yeah, that was the 80s.
That was. Tone Loc was the 80s. And Run DMC and all those guys. So I don't know. So this is this is just the rules. Meanwhile, Alice Cooper, who was honored just to be among the nominees, announced in September, told Billboard.com that he knew this day was coming all along. I always felt the same way about this whole thing. I'm great. And anybody that, no, he didn't say that. He said, I kind of sat back and said, it'll happen eventually. The rocker added that not being nominated for induction did get to be kind of a joke. Hey, let me ask you something. Did they put Ozzy Osbourne in there yet?
I forget.
Because wasn't that kind of a joke that Ozzy and Black Sabbath wasn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? They kept passing them by and passing them by. See, my philosophy is this. A Hall of Fame for rock and roll is so silly.
Why? Why do you think that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what? It seems silly. It just seems silly. That's all. A Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know. Do they have an actor Hall of Fame? Do they?
What do you mean?
Do they have a Hall of Fame for actors? You go and... I know there's a wax museum, but that's not the same thing.
You mean like... What do you mean? Like, yeah. When you go and you look at the feet print.
What do you mean go and look at the feet print?
You're talking about man Chinese.
That ain't the man's Chinese. That's where you just go and look at hands and feet. I'm talking about an actor's Hall of Fame where you go and you go down the... What do you do in a freaking Hall of Fame, man? I ain't never even been in one.
You're walking along, man. You look at all the people that are in it.
Like, didn't you guys go to the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I did. And you go in and you look... And then they also have movies and everything, and they show baseball mitts and everything.
Well, yeah. So they're going to have an actor Hall of Fame? I don't know. So anyway, he said, I got to the point where I was saying, okay, I'm the Pete Rose of rock and roll, Cooper told Billboard. So now it's a reality. It's a different take on it. Now I sit there and go, wow. We got to get really up and play and assume the position of being in the Hall of Fame. It'll be great. As for Neil Diamond, any club that has Chuck Berry and Little Richard and the Everly Brothers is a club that I want to be a part of, he told Rolling Stone. And while some may get pedantic over how the Hall of Fame defines what qualifies as rock and roll, Diamond says he thinks any music that's made by the youngsters of the generations from the 1950s until the present is some form of rock music, unless specifically stated otherwise. What does that mean?
No, I get it.
So anything that's made by young people is rock and roll.
Unless they specifically say that it's not.
Like, what would they say?
Well, if they said it, okay, this is polka music. Like if the Beastie Boys said that.
If the Beastie Boys said
what? What are you talking about, man?
If the Beastie Boys said what?
If the Beastie Boys said this is polka music.
The Beastie Boys are going to say this is polka music.
If they did.
Well, they ain't going to say it's polka music.
What? No, you're not hearing what Neil Diamond said. He said if they... You're not even listening.
Oh, he's going to start the ball now.
Are you listening to what you're saying, man? The Beastie Boys are going to say, we're not doing hip-hop, we're doing polka music.
If that's what they said.
So the Beastie Boys didn't do hip-hop, they did polka music.
Well, he didn't say that.
But if they did say that, that's what it is.
That's what Neil Diamond said.
I think, Neil, you may want to refine that definition because Bud now thinks that if the Beastie Boys decided to call their music polka instead of hip-hop, that's what it is. And you'd have to kick their ass out of the Hall of Fame, but they ain't never been voted into it, so who cares? The world-famous Phil Henry Show, we're coming back with something, man. Yeah, that's for sure.
It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.